Hello and welcome to Prickly, a podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Wayne Shutsky.
And I'm Cameron Sanchez.
Today we're going to talk about a recent contentious election in Arizona, but probably not the one you're thinking of. Last month, members of both major political parties in the state picked the people who are going to lead those parties over the next 2 years. For outside observers, the existing GOP chair, Gina Swoboda, seemed kind of like a shoo-in because Republicans scored major victories up and down the ballot last year. But that wasn't actually the case, was it, Cameron?
No, there was a faction of far-right Republicans who decided to run their own candidate to challenge Swoboda, who had first taken over the party in 2024 after former chairman Jeff DeWitt was caught on tape trying to convince Carrie Lake to drop out of the U.S. Senate race.
All right. Well, before we get to all the reasons for that challenge, can you tell us a little bit more about Swoboda? She took an interesting path to the job, right?
That's right. She grew up as a Democrat in New York and was even briefly in a union. But things changed for her in 2008 during the Democratic presidential primary. And that year, the Democratic National Committee penalized Michigan Democrats for holding their primary earlier than the DNC scheduled. So candidates like Barack Obama had withdrawn from Michigan's primary and cited the violation of Democratic Party rules. So to penalize Michigan Democrats, the DNC awarded state's delegates half a vote each at the party's national convention, and the DNC divided those half votes among Hillary Clinton and Obama, despite his absence from the state's primary ballot. So to Swoboda, the DNC's actions were an overreach and an affront to the democratic process, and she spent the next several years supporting various Republicans. But she said she didn't feel anyone really represented working Americans until Donald Trump. Swoboda also has a background in election law and policy. She worked for the Arizona Secretary of State's office. When I spoke with her, it was obvious that she brings an excitement to that part of the job that you really only see from policy wonks.
That sounds like a very stressful, unpleasant job.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, see, so I'm weirdly wired. I'm passionate, like just a conversation. I'm having fun having a conversation. I'm having fun thinking about it.
Swoboda was initially appointed chair in 2024 following the DeWitt Lake scandal. Some Republicans turned to Swoboda, who at the time was focused on training election observers.
I trained observers. I love everything about our process. And I was done and I was leaving. And then, you know, there's a tape and there's this. And then everyone starts calling like, and I was like, are you sure? I was like, you're confused. You're confusing me with someone else. I'm like, why would you call me to be the chair? I don't know how to be the chair.
But Swoboda says that Trump asked her to step up, and she did. Her passions paid off for Republicans who won key legislative and congressional races last year, along with Arizona's presidential race. Despite that, those far-right Republicans wanted Swoboda gone. Wayne, you were at the GOP chairman vote this year. What did you find out about that?
So I spoke to Senator Jake Hoffman, who leads the Freedom Caucus down at the legislature, this far-right group. He was part of that group that was trying to get someone to run against Swoboda. They ultimately landed on Cory Maguire, who's a former lawmaker, member of the Freedom Caucus, who actually lost his race to a Democrat this year. Hoffman was fairly diplomatic about why they chose Maguire over Swoboda, and here are a few of the reasons he gave us.
Because he has a principled, conservative, rock-solid record. He knows how to fundraise, and he knows that we need to unite this party to win in 2026.
That fundraising boast is kind of interesting. Maguire raised around $170,000 for his campaign, which is actually a really respectable amount for a legislative race in typical races. Mm-hmm. But his Democratic competition actually raised almost $500,000. Swoboda, on the other hand, ran this coordinated campaign for a multitude of legislative Republican candidates that was really successful at winning almost all of the competitive races outside of a handful, including Maguire's. And the party has said that that effort was a game changer this year.
But didn't they also cite it as a reason to come after Swoboda?
Yeah, it was actually the specifics of that coordinated campaign. One of the reasons was the contractor they used, this guy Chris Baker, longtime contractor, has worked with Congressman David Schweikert. He was seen by some of these far-right members as kind of part of the establishment or the consultant class. That's these professional folks who work in politics, run these campaigns. The far-right wing has seen it as a success in recent years that they were able to kind of pull the party away from these so-called consultant class folks. And they viewed Swoboda's move to give some power back to them, some money, as kind of a loss or as kind of handing the reins of the party back over to a faction that they don't like. And they argued that that was proof that Swoboda is not the right person to lead the party moving forward.
We should also note that some of these far-right Republicans had contracts with the GOP before Swoboda came in.
That's right. Turning Point USA, which is the Charlie Kirk-led organization that's very involved in Republican politics, especially here in Arizona, had some contracts, or organizations they're affiliated with had contracts with the Republican Party that Swoboda put an end to. So in addition to handing money over to Baker, they were, I think, maybe upset that some of that money was being pulled back from the organizations that they're affiliated with. And additionally, they thought that Baker campaign didn't maybe do enough to help a few of the far-right candidates in the races, including McGar and some other competitive East Valley Republicans.
Swoboda told me she was well aware of the criticism directed at her, but she's defended her track record.
The articulation seems to be that the Republicans that won weren't sufficiently conservative for them. And it would have been better to lose than to have Republicans that are not perfectly within their portion of our spectrum here, right?
And Swoboda says it's not really her job to pick the candidates that ultimately make it onto the general election ballot, right?
Right. And she said the party doesn't make endorsements in the primary. That is not her job, even though past chairs have done that.
People ran someone against me because it was their perception and their belief that the job of the chair is to attack fellow Republicans that they don't think are, quote, walking the walk.
And while Swoboda knows she has her critics, she says she's not in the business of holding grudges.
I'm not getting people to come vote for me by attacking them because I'm applying some kind of purity test of you're not the right kind of Republican. I just completely disagree with that. And that's how I think we won. I think we all work together, and I did not spend not one second or one iota of my time attacking anyone else for their beliefs.
Despite all this opposition from these far-right Republicans who are big fans of President Donald Trump, Swoboda was able to get President Trump's endorsement, right, Cameron?
Yeah, Swoboda says she was asked to come to America Fest, which is put on by Turning Point every year, to speak with Trump. Even though she wasn't sure she would be welcome necessarily by the Turning Point folks like Charlie Kirk, she said that she wanted to ask Trump if he wanted her to run again, but their conversation was interrupted, and then she was caught off guard by his endorsement on stage.
But the Arizona Republican Party's got it all going on. It's messy, but it's glorious, and you get the right result at the end.
So Swoboda ultimately won re-election with about 56% of the vote at the party meeting. What is her plan going into the next election cycle when there's a lot of big races on the ballot, including governor, secretary of state, and attorney general?
She says her plan for this year is to hit the Democrats over and over again so that they'll be weak going into 2026.
Now there's just the possibility of down. Like to keep it static is hard. A midterm is harder. The swing is harder. The low propensity voters are not going to come. President Trump's not on the ballot. If people in Congress obstruct the president's agenda and he's not able to execute the things that he said, people, you know, will be upset. So the things that we had going are not all going to be there.
We will be watching as we get closer to 2026 to see whether that plan works and how Democrats respond. We also reached out to the Arizona Democratic Party to speak with its new chairman, Robert Branscombe, but did not receive a response.
If they do get back to us, we can set up another episode diving into the new state of the Democratic Party under his leadership. Thank you for listening to the Prickly Podcast. Tune in to 91.5 and follow us at kjzz.org.
And please subscribe to Prickly wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again. We'll see you next time.
Bye.